Right, okay, we're up to Simon Kuf Dalet, and we are up to Siv Beis, which is page 264. Very special days now. The Gemara, by the way, the Gemara says that when Purim falls on Purim, when there's a leap year, like this year, that there's two Adars. So the Gemara questions, when is the right time to make Purim? Is it in the first Adar or the second Adar? It's a very important question, because anybody's got Yahrzeit or a bar mitzvah, pardon, what have you got your side?
Purim cotton.
Purim cotton. So you go for the second or the first order?
Purim cotton.
Purim cotton, right. So the shaila is, the Gemara discusses the shaila, when is the Purim? And the Gemara says that the Purim is on the second order. Obviously, that's what we do. The first order, not really in the end. It could be that the meaning of the Gemara, the side of the Gemara is that the second Adar is a real Adar and the first Adar is not the real Adar. And if that's true, then obviously Bar Mitzvah and Yahrzeit and everything will be on the second Adar. But leaving that aside, the Gemara explains why is it that Purim is in the second Adar. The Gemara says because you have to be masmich, you have to connect Geula le Geula. You have to connect both Geulas. The Geula of Motcha and Hestan, the big Yeshua in the times of Motcha and Hestan, on one hand, you have to connect that to the other Gola, which is the Gola of Nisan, the Gola of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They have to be connected. Hence, there has to be a second order, which is exactly 30 days before Pesach. You connect the two Golas, the two Nisim, you connect Purim with Pesach, as opposed to if it would be in the first order, it would be too far away, there's no connection between Purim and Pesach. But what is interesting, the underlying yisod of the Gemara is really interesting, because we see that there is something intrinsically connecting between Purim and Pesach. There must be something really, really, there must be a really intrinsic connection. And the Bale Musa and the Bale Ashkofas, if Zichayim, and the Bale Medim and the Mephoshim, they're going great, this is something which has to be thought about. What's the connection between Purim, which is the openism, the hiddenism, leading to the openism. There must be some intrinsic connection. These 30 days is the real days of avoda and inspiration. Let us be zoicha to get his inspiration ready for Pesach Yemei Hashem. Okay, we're up to Siv Beis, and we're continuing with halachas of Hilchos Shmoneh Esrei. We'll be talking about various interruptions, and when is a person allowed to interrupt, for various purposes and reasons. See, Beis teaches us the following. Second line of page 264. A person was davening on the way, and suddenly was an animal running towards him. Or a wagon was riding towards him, connected opposite him. What should he do? So ideally, if you see there's a bit of distance left, what would you suggest? What should you do? Move away, exactly, Shulchan Aruch says, Yatamin Aderech, go to the side, Veloyavsig, do not interrupt in talking. So you see this horse wagon, this carriage in full speed zooming towards you, or you see this animal, this wild animal racing towards you. If you can just jump off the way and do that, that's the best what you should do. If it's these kinds of scenarios, you're allowed to step away. However, otherwise, you're not allowed to move. Until you've completed your tefillah, Yishmoneh Esrei. Unless, again, you're betachnunim, but the tefillah is tachnunim at the very end of the davening, after you said yirotzayin, then you'd potentially be allowed to move under some circumstances. But otherwise, not. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says follows. If there's a great danger involved, there's a horse wagon ride zooming towards you, there's a dangerous animal, then try to move away. Otherwise, if really necessary, because that's really necessary, you'll have to move away. Otherwise, you may not step away. You have to stand still wherever you are, you have to stand still unless it's such a danger as explained now. The only other exception is, if you're at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, but the Tachnunim at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, there again it's more lenient, and you're also allowed to move, even if the danger is not that great. Okay, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Vav, Mina Dei, Chotzeloima, Avdu Sakanta, Shaliyavu Abeimah V'Korinu Lov, although there is a danger here, that The animal of the wagon is zooming towards him. Kolmar can come into Epshalay Notzim is the Aladishyatim in Aderech. Since you could really avoid danger by moving away, you should do so. And also lehavsik b'dibu loyman ishach shiyake b'makel lebehema v'ligu b'valakon shaloyova kinegdoi. Says, ideally this is a danger now. You've got this horse carriage zooming towards you. You've got this animal, wild animal. Lechatchila, what you should do, jump off the way and hopefully you'll be safe. If that will not do the job, you're allowed to talk. But only then. Only if the former option doesn't help. And then you're allowed to scream at the animal to get it out, or shout at the person riding this horse. Then you're allowed to shout, or you can call somebody else with a stick to hit on the animal. So what we're learning over here is that lechatchila, move. If that does not help, then talk. And if that doesn't help, then shout. but what we're learning over here is that lechatchila, moving away is more lenient than talking. An interruption in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei of talking, speech is more serious than moving away. Now, Mishnah Mosef Kotten Ches addresses the Shaila of the Chazan in the middle of in the Yom Kippur Amida, V'anachnu Koyrim. What is the right way? You know, the Chazan says in Anachnu Koyrim, he has to go down. Now, he's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, so how should he do so? What's the right way? What should he do? What should he do?
People help him down and help him up.
Very good. Is he allowed to walk? Step away. No, he's not. Says the Mishnah Mosef Kotten Ches. Ein lot says, V'yesh ligoy, one should protest, bechazonim at chazonim, sh'oikim mimkoyim rabiyum ha-kippurim, that step away, literally, to uproot themselves from their places, biyum ha-kippurim on Yom Kippur, k'shemagiyin el v'anachnu koyrim u'v'seder avoido. When Yom Kippur they reach the words v'anachnu koyrim and the seder avoido, again where they go down, k'nis v'sim tofer esh choval av'siv dalav v'hagom, elo ma'amid elo ishtender, k'nog beinu la'teva, they should have a shtender, a movable shtender in front of him, k'nog beinu between him and the teva, u'v'avoido misalkin ha'shtender, this removable, this mobile shtender should be taken away, v'en tzorich la'ku raglov, and he does not have to uproot himself, he doesn't have to move away. So we're learning that even the Chazan, even in Yom Kippur, he should not walk. He shouldn't walk. He should literally be, his feet should be still, and the shtender should be moved away. He should be davening in front of a shtender, which is a mobile shtender, and he can go down in that particular way. Because otherwise, yes, the halacha is this very strict halacha that a person should not move in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. He's not allowed to move. He's not allowed to move. Right, so it's about oikim em koimon. It's about moving away from one's place. Jumping would be a little bit better than walking, but not much better. A little bit better, but not much better. Yeah, so, yeah. Seif Kotten test in Mishnah Berurah v'tachnunin. Be'oz muta imu akir letzorich mitzvah k'tas. So with regards to tachnunim, we're saying tachnunim is not so... Tachnunim is not so, the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we say the Tachnunim, this special tefillah, and because at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, there it's a little bit more lenient, says the Mishnah. Because that's not really part of the Shemoneh Esrei. That's not really the part of Anshe Knesset HaGdoila. After the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, that's the end of the Nusach, the wording of the Shemoneh Esrei, which the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila wrote. After that, it's not really part of Shemoneh Esrei. Therefore, to step away there, to walk then, would be a lot more lenient. And therefore, it's permitted to tzorich mitzvah k'tas. K'goin ma sh'noegin b'shleach tzibur sh'techa v'achazor es ha'tfila oi k'raglo v'yoshev letachnu b'mekoim sh'noegin loim v'tachnu b'yeshiva. He says, therefore, after... at the very end of Shemoneh Esrei, you are actually allowed to walk, and you're allowed to actually sit down to say Tachanun, sitting. You'd also be allowed to go to the bima for lining. The Chazan will normally only make the three steps by Kaddish Tiskabel. At the end, much later on, he's not, after Shemoneh Esrei, he's not normally going to say the three steps of the end of Shemoneh Esrei, Poise Shalom. He's going to go down straight after Shemoneh Esrei. He's going to go down to Tachlon. He's actually even, for that matter, he could even go for an Aliyah. And he's only going to say that he's only going to make the three steps later. Nevertheless, that's fine, says the Mishnah Berurah, because that is considered Tzarich Mitzvah, and that's fine. So again, what we're learning over here now is the following. During Shemoneh Esrei, the real body of Shemoneh Esrei, you are in any circumstances, you're not allowed to walk and step away. That's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Unless you've got a danger. Fair enough, a danger. Otherwise, you're not allowed to walk. That's in the body of the Shemoneh Esrei. However, when it comes to the Tachanunim, at the very end of Shemoneh Esrei, there the halacha is much more lenient. Although you didn't step back, you're allowed to walk Letzorich Mitzvah. An example for that, says the Mishnah Berurah, if the Chazan, who didn't step back yet, but he completed the Shemoneh Esrei, if he's now, he didn't step back yet, if now he's in called for an Aliyah, or he's just going down to say Tachanun, he's allowed to step. He's allowed to make steps. Although he didn't actually complete the Shemoneh Esrei. Does that make sense, Rabbi Yisai? Although he didn't actually...
Is that the Mishnah's position on this?
No, he's actually, no, not really. He says you're allowed to. He doesn't say that's the way you should do it.
Okay.
Yeah?
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, correct. So then he brings up an interesting Gemara. To go in Masechet Amrinu, the Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara talks about Rebbe Kiva. She Adam Enicha Bezaviz Zum Etzioi Bezaviz Acheres Mroi Kiyos V'Shtachaviyos. That was Rebbe Kiva. The Gemara relates to Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva Shemoneh Esrei was such unbelievable Shemoneh Esrei that he would literally be found, as the words of the Gemara in Brachas, he would be found in, he would start Shemoneh Esrei in one corner of the Beis Hamedrash, and you'd be finished at the another corner of the, because you'd be davening so hard, you'd make ishtachavoyes and kiyas, you'd be bending down and bowing down so much, you'd find him at the different corner of the Beis Hamedrash. Which the Rebbe says, how can I be? How can he walk? How can he walk? He made a Shemoneh Esrei. Good question. What will you answer? Yeah, it's a good question, no? It's a good question. He's asking Kasha on the Gemara and Brachas. And the answer to the Mishnah, an interesting answer. It says just three, four words. All this happened at the very end of Shemoneh Esrei, after Sim Shalom, after the event. During the entire Shemoneh Esrei, from the beginning until the Tachnunim, until the main body of Shemoneh Esrei, there would be not moving one bit, not one inch. But the fact that it'd be moving so much, that would be at the Tachnunim at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, that would be moving so much. Yeah. Yes, at that part. Correct. Absolutely. And it's also, it's interesting because the wording of the Gemara is also quite interesting because it says, Hayodom Enichoy Bezuvizu Motzio Bezaviz Acheres. So it sounds like, I don't know, without, he's only talking about the end of Shemoneh Esrei. It's an interesting Mishnah Berurah here. Nevertheless, aber shlo le tsayrach also le adam lozim koima achiv sa gimel psias. But certainly, unless they want to not, if there's no need at all, one should certainly not move even at the very end of Shemoneh Esrei, right, until one has done the three steps. Right, okay. Siv Gimel. Vafilu nochosh kol chalakevoy. Even if you've got a snake, kol chalakevoy wrapped around your ankle. Lo yafsik, don't interrupt. Imagine that, you're davening, in the middle you've got a snake around your leg. So that's lo yafsik, don't interrupt your Shemoneh Esrei. Havol yochel eilech lamokim ache, kidei shiyeh po lenachash miragloy. Don't interrupt, but if you need to move, so Le'av Sigovi is talking about talking. Don't talk. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you've gotten Le'av Sigovi. Tell him about the dibur. Kigoyin loy malacha shasiano. Don't tell your friend. You might have to please get rid of that snake around my leg. You don't have to talk. But if you can walk a walk or shake it off kind of thing, that you're allowed to do. Aval akrav, but if it's a scorpion, poisek, you're allowed to talk and interrupt in talking. Levishu mud yoisel hazik, because you're more likely to be dangerous. For Nachash Nami, even when it comes to a snake as well, Im Roshu Kos, if you see that this particular snake is in anger, Humuchon Lehazik, and it's about to hurt you and damage you, Poise, you have to interrupt in talking as well. So in one sentence, if you are in danger, or you believe you are in danger, yes, you're allowed to talk, scream for help, do whatever is necessary. However, if you're pretty calm about it, and you feel that either this animal is not so dangerous, or whatever reason you're not particularly nervous about it, then try to avoid talking. You can shake it off, but otherwise don't talk. The truth is that this is more relevant, I suppose, when it comes to these other animals who potentially could be dangerous. The Mishnah Bialoch says explicitly that it's not talking about snakes, any animals, or any danger. So the halacha is very simple. If the danger is a real danger, you're allowed to talk if necessary. If you can complete your Shemoneh Esrei, or you can just shake it off or move, that's better. But if necessary, you're allowed to talk. If there's no danger involved, then you're not allowed to talk. What happens if the snake is not on your ankle yet, it's not on your body yet, but you just see it coming along? I saw in Eretz Yisrael once, on the latest Shabbos, it was a frightening sight. I was walking on, I think it was a Chof Bar Ilan, this is a number of years ago, and I was walking up in the evening, and then suddenly I see something moving, something pretty shiny I saw moving in a very interesting movement on the street. And I looked close, and it took split seconds, but I saw this real snake going crossing the street, or not on a zebra crossing, I felt quite heimish to go on there. It was very fast moving, and it literally crossed the street. So it was quite an interesting sight. By the way, for me this was an interesting insight with regards to the halachas of Megula, because we're not makbit. The Gemara says if there's no snakes around, about uncovered drinks. Do you know halacha about uncovered drinks? So the sakana really comes from snakes. But maybe snakes ate from it, they left poison, and it's poisonous, and therefore therefore it's a problem of it's sakana. It's not issa per se. It's just it's a danger. It's a danger. So therefore, any uncovered drinks, because your potential snakes may have gone in, drank from it, left some poison there, some venom there, you don't have to drink any uncovered drinks. The halacha is that's only in places if there's snakes. If you're in places, in areas where there's no snakes whatsoever, this halacha does not apply. So to me, this was quite revealing, the fact that I saw a snake on Bar Ilan. Because I thought, well, if there's snakes around here, maybe I'm going to have to revisit this halacha again. But I have never seen in Edgeware. Anybody seen any snakes in Edgeware? No? So, but Lemaisa, what happens if the snake comes towards you? You're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. It's not on your ankle yet. It's not on your leg yet. It's not on your body yet, but it's coming towards you. What, are you allowed to already walk? Are you allowed to scream for help? Or, remember the Loshna Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is, if it's, it's the Loshna Mishnah. Nochosh kol chalakeboy. It's wrapped around your ankle. It's on you. Do you need to wait for that stage, or maybe prior to that? Two.
I think I'll run as fast as I can.
Run as fast as.
I mean, it's
dangerous
to life.
Pikuach nefesh should. Yeah, everybody agrees to that? Everybody agrees? Agrees? Says the Mishnah Berurah very much in line with what you are saying. Sikot Yud Aleph. Even if it's not around your ankle, he sees that it's coming towards him. Poisek, you're allowed to interrupt. So yes, indeed, it doesn't have to be on you. Which of course is interesting, because every cheder boy knows the Loshna Mishnah, Nochosh kol chalakeboy, Mishnah in Brachas. But it doesn't have to be that you're allowed to interrupt, even if it is prior to that stage, as long as it's a dangerous animal. Yes, you're allowed to run as fast as you can. Certainly so. Siv Dalet, moving on to other animals. You've got this wild ox running towards you. Poisek, yes, you're allowed to interrupt. Shemachikim is Shoyr Tom. Perish Tom She'enoi Rogil Hazik. Chamishim Ames, from a Shoyr Tom, one that doesn't have any history of hurting people. Distance yourself 50 Ames. Umemuot, Perish Rogil Hazik, an ox that has a history of being dangerous. Meloyenov, run as fast as he cannot see you, and you can't see him. So, as far as the eyesight takes you, you have to run away. If you're at a particular place, that those Oxen are not, they're known not to be dangerous. They're muchzik, they're known. She'en ozik, they're not dangerous, they're pretty tame. He'en opoisik, they don't interrupt. Safe. Hey, bechol makom shepoisik, in any instance that you have to interrupt. Im shok de ligmor is kula, if you interrupted. Now you waited as long as a whole shmoneh eser. We learned this halacha earlier. Do you remember that? If you had to now stop, for whatever reason, you had to stop now and it took, and you stopped as long as the whole shmoneh eser takes. How long does the shmoneh eser take? Average? 6 minutes, yeah? So 6 minutes. So if you waited that long until you were able to continue the next part of shmoneh eser, then the halacha is choyza l'roish. If you had to wait that long, then you have to start shmoneh eser again. If you've interrupted, the interruption was so big that you have to start, you have lost your shmoneh eser, you have to start from the beginning. Ve'im lav, if you didn't have to wait as long as the shmoneh eser takes, choyzel etchilas ha-brocha, start from again from the brocha, she'posek potah interrupted. Start again from the beginning of the brocha where you stopped. Ve'im posek begim l'rishonos, if you had to interrupt in the middle of the first few brochas of shmoneh eser, choyzel l'rosh, either way, you're going to have to be starting the beginning of shmoneh eser. Ve'im b'achonos, and if it's the last brochas, choyzel l'retzei, you go back to retzei. Now the question is, what happens if you are in a shmoneh eser that in a shmoneh eser that they would be saying putim? Say, what would be a good example? Where a shmoneh eser you'd be saying putim. Additions to the shmoneh eser.
Well, in the case recently, they were
minions,
so they
asked me
to join
because
they were short of one person.
Right.
So it came to shmoneh eser, they were saying a lot
of extra bits, and also extra bits in shmoneh eser, good.
In laning, they didn't
do
the fast day because they were fasting.
Right. So, but they asked me,
they were short.
Okay, good. It's a very good example. Okay, they added in the middle of shmoneh eser, they're adding additions. Now, if a person would make a mistake in that kind of shmoneh eser, where do you call, we learn now that he had to interrupt, and now we're learning that depends how long the interruption is. If the interruption is as long as the shmoneh eser takes, then you go back to the beginning. If it was less than what the shmoneh eser takes, you carry on where you're up to. So what happens in that kind of shmoneh eser, there's additions. How do you define the normal amount of shmoneh eser? Is it according with the yotzes, with the additions, or without? Interesting shaila. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens that you don't go according to the yotzes. You don't go according to the yotzes. Okay.
So here, posting doesn't mean as it did before, so with speaking, it just means a time passes by.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Okay, let's continue to see. Vav, Hodam Rinon, that we said, in shock the ligmor is kula, that we said that you measure what is the length of a shmoneh eser, so we're learning, Bakoyra Mesharinon, it goes according to the person who's actually saying shmoneh eser, the one who's actually davening shmoneh eser. Himsach betfila, but if he actually talked, dinah lechazor kedinah afsokas amurus besimen zeh. If he talked, then it's worse. So we're learning that the side of this Shulchan Aruch is there's a distinction over here between, basically what you're pointing out, is a distinction between hafsoka in waiting and interruption in talking. If it's waiting, then it depends how long the wait is, as we just mentioned now. Talking, however, is much more severe. If a person had to talk in the middle of shmoneh eser, it's much more severe. And that's the side of Shulchan Aruch Seivov. And that really leads us to a shayla that we discussed previously. What happens if a person doesn't know the halacha in the middle of shmoneh eser? What should he do? You forgot to say Ya'alev Yavon Rosh Chodesh. You forgot to say Al-Nisim. Chanukah Purim. And you're just unsure now what the halacha is. What should you do? Halacha Lamaisa. What should you do? Pardon? Go and check in the sefer. Very good. Very good. So you are definitely allowed to check in the sefer. Definitely allowed to check. You're allowed to move away from your place and check in the sefer. Now, what happens if you, for whatever reason, there is no sefer, or there is no, or you don't know where to check. You're not quite sure where to check, or there's no sefer available. What are you meant to do then? Are you allowed to ask somebody verbally?
Sign language.
Very good, very good. So the person can actually say, ideally, do sign language. You're allowed to go up to somebody and make it in sign language. If you make it in Yalev Yavai, what should you do? And that you're allowed to do that. What about writing? Allowed to make a note. If he doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. You know, you're trying and you're just he doesn't get it. What are you meant to do then?
Preferable, because you might be spending a whole lot of
time.
It takes longer to.
Right, very good. So the Emma says, very interesting, the post scheme, go to a Shiloh, a Chuvah and Rebbe Kveger. China text, yeah. Yeah. The post scheme, go and compare it to a Chuvah and Rebbe Kveger, a famous Chuvah. There's a Shiloh of Hiro Kedibu, which is an early Shiloh. Rebbe Kveger does the Shiloh Ksiva Kedibu, yes or no. Actually, he discusses Sfiras HaOim, if a person writes, Hayoim lak ba'oima, can you often still make a bracha or not? You know, the famous shayla, if a person says the words, famous shayla, is yotze, it's first oima, can you often subsequently can still make a bracha? Yes or no? Person actually says it, that's a shulchan aruch. Bekveg address the shayla when even a person writes it. And that's the famous, bekveg, ksiva kedibo, writing is considered speaking or not. Ksiva kedibo, yes or no? And it's a nice shayla, ksiva kedibo. It's machloikis, ksiva kedibo or not. So, the halach and the meister, the post can say that since our post can learn, ksiva lav kedibo, ksiva is not considered talking. So if that's the case, then it's probably a lot better to write it down rather than talking. Ksiva lav kedibo, according to many post can. Ksiva, writing lav kedibo is not like, when I told you, therefore, there's room to say that if sign language will not help, then write it down. What's the halacha? You write it down in the middle of Shemana Esrei. Yes, middle of Shemana Esrei. I forgot Yalev Yavoi. What shall I do? It's better than actually verbalizing, than talking. So so just to recap what we covered tonight, Bezer Hashem, we learned that a person who is in the middle of Shemana Esrei, there's a danger encountering him, then ideally he should step away without talking. Moving is better than talking. Go away. If that doesn't help, yes, you can talk. This is all with regards to a person in actual Shemana Esrei. If it's a tachnunim of Shemana, at the tachnunim at the very end of Shemana Esrei, there, we learn is more lenient, a person is allowed to move well, it's a tzarich mitzvah. If there are any dangerous animals like a snake or like any other animals which are danger, a person is ideally trying to shake it off without talking. If that doesn't help, you're allowed to talk. Similarly, also with oxen and with any other, the rule of thumb is make sure you are safe. Even Shemana Esrei, we learned that a person interrupted Shemana Esrei. Now it depends how long his interruption was. If interrupted by a silent interruption, let's call it a silent interruption. If it's a silent interruption, if it's longer than the whole Shemana Esrei, his waiting period was longer than the whole Shemana Esrei, he then must return to the beginning of Shemana Esrei. If his waiting period was less than that, he can just restart from the bracha that he started and continue from there. However, this was all said with regards to silent interruptions. If it's a talking interruption, then it's worse, and if he makes it, he may have lost all Shemana Esrei. But certainly, talking is much more severe than silent interruptions. And we finished off discussing a shaila, what halacha lemaisa should a person do if he's stuck in the middle of Shemana Esrei. Person should ideally, he can move away from his place, he can check up the halacha, and he can then, and if that doesn't help, then he can actually make a sign language. If it doesn't help, he can write, and if that doesn't help, he can actually talk in the middle of Shemana Esrei as well, under some circumstances. But of course, that's ideally want to try to avoid that and try to find out. Try not to forget the Alev Yovei in Middle Shemana Esrei. And okay, we'll continue to learn this issue.